Brothers and sisters, in the last session, we looked at how God awakened Job using the examples of the ostrich and the horse. The ostrich have beautiful feathers, but they bring no benefit to other creatures. Also, the way it leaves its eggs buried in the sand and gives no more care shows that God did not give the ostrich wisdom or understanding. Through the nature of the ostrich, God revealed to Job that although he had gained outward knowledge and honor, he lacked inner virtue and love. God wanted Job not just to have wisdom and power, but to become a complete person, rich in love and virtue. God also gave Job a powerful lesson through the example of the horse. Though Job thought of himself as wise, when trials came, he did not humble himself. Instead, he asserted his own righteousness to the end. Like a horse that recklessly charges into battle, he argued without restraint. But in the end, it was his pride that drove Job deeper into suffering. We also share that through Job's examples, we must reflect on ourselves, casting away pride, not looking down on others or quarreling, but overcoming evil with good as true children of God. Horses in the battlefield, the sound of drums, sound of the trumpets, the sound of the warriors, they recklessly run here and there. This is natural, but if we do that in our life, we would quarrel, argue, and we would not humble ourselves in trials. We wouldn't stay quiet, but we would raise our voices. We would claim that I have no fault. We would place the blame on others, giving excuses. Then we will be like horses in the battlefield. You should not. How such attributes were revealed, you have to discover. But thankfully, people confess, I was like an ostrich. I was like a wild ox. You shouldn't just take it lightly, but you have to remember how you acted like the horse. How you acted like an ox, how you acted like the ostrich. Today, we will look at the parable of the hawk and the eagle. I pray that this message will lead us to deeply understand God's will and make it be fully fulfilled in our hearts. In today's passage, God asked Job the following question. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars, stretching its wings toward the south? In other words, Job, is it by your wisdom that the hawk rises into the sky and flies south with outstretched wings? Namely, God meant to say, Job, it wasn't by your power or command that the hawk soars high. Was it not I, the Creator God, who commanded it to do so? Then what kind of bird is the hawk, and what are its characteristics? The hawk belongs to the family of birds of prey. It has a large and streamlined body with wide and sturdy wings that allow for fast and agile flight. Its eyesight is especially sharp and far exceeds human vision, allowing it to detect small prey from several kilometers away. Its claws are powerful, enabling it to grasp its prey firmly, and its sharp beak is perfectly shaped for tearing and breaking down food. The hawk is also known for its exceptional hunting skills. When hunting, it sharply scans its surroundings from high in the sky. At the moment it spots prey, such as a small mammal or a bird, it dives at astonishing speed to capture it in an instant. Because of its great strength and majestic beauty, the hawk has long been regarded in many cultures as a symbol of power and freedom. It is considered a symbol of the wonders of nature. Brothers and sisters, the way hawk rises with his wings fully spread evokes a sense of mystery and majesty. Unlike birds like geese that must flap their wings vigorously, the hawk flies swiftly with minimal energy by spreading its wings and riding the flow of air. This is because it was designed with God's wisdom. Though human invented airplanes inspired by the hawk's flight, how could their wisdom ever match that of the Creator? To stay in the air, airplanes require massive amounts of fuel, and their engine and propellers must work constantly. But the hawk, without a fuel tank or any mechanical parts, flies freely through the skies. Once a plane runs out of fuel, it has no choice but to fall. However, the hawk, created by God, can glide gracefully through the air with its wings fully spread, swiftly diving and then rising again with power. Where does such an incredible ability come from? It comes from the wisdom of the Creator God. Not only the hawk, but also, even tiny creatures like the lark or the mayfly testify to God's amazing wisdom and providence in creation. As Job heard the parable of the hawk, he again came to a deeper realization. Yes, even a bird's ability to fly comes from the wisdom God has given. All things in heaven and on earth are under God's authority. Then, how much more must that be for humans who were made in God's image and set up as the Lord of all creation? Surely, God has not abandoned me. Even this trial is within His providence and will. But I dare to call God unjust and complain how wrong I was. Job was gaining awakening this way. Through the parable of the hawk, God was not only correcting Job, but also planting within him a new hope and vision. He was saying, "Job, who gave you wisdom to enjoy such blessings? Just as I gave the hawk the wisdom to soar in the sky, was it not I who gave you honor, wealth, and a position others admired? Wouldn't there be a reason that I've humbled you now? Now that you understand, if you repent and turn back to fully revere God again, will I not raise you up to a high place like the hawk?" As we can see, in disciplining Job, God not only humbled him but also had a plan to lift him up again. Brothers and sisters, no matter how magnificently the hawk soars in the sky, you and I are incomparably more valuable as children of the Creator God. So, no matter the situation, let us always remember the words of Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. "Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they?" We have to fully trust in God, never lose our joy and gratitude, and only trust our lives to Him by faith. The creation, the mysteries of nature, and through the examples of animals, God was saying to Job that, "Did you make them? Did you create them? Did you make them fly? Did you make them survive?" Asking these questions, God reminded Job that everything was in God's hands. But contrarily, Job found himself powerless, and he realized that he himself, a human being, it was God that blessed him. And there was a purpose and reason for God to humble himself. Likewise, we have to have an awakening. When you receive blessings and answers, you confess God's love. But when you are humble, when you are Lord, it feels like God has abandoned you. You have to repent of them. And God does not forsake you, abandon you. But because you did not live in His will, Even in troubles, even in hardships, you have to knock on the door to God's heart and go deeper and deeper spiritually. But if you get disappointed, if you despair, you confess that God has abandoned you. You have to repent. You have to confess that even though I cannot do anything, God can do everything. So you have to humbly come before God, and then through that humbleness, God will raise us up again. God then continued by speaking through the parable of the eagle. Chapter 39, verses 27 and 28 reads, Is it at your command that the eagle soars and builds his nest on high? He dwells and spends his nights on the cliff, on the rocky cliff, an inaccessible place. First, God asked Job, is it by your command that the eagle rises high in the sky and builds his nest in lofty places? Of course, God knew better than anyone that the eagle does not follow Job's command. Yet, he asked this to give Job awakening. The eagle, one of the largest and strongest birds of prey, can glide long distances without flapping its wings by using its broad wingspan. Eagles build their nests in lofty places inaccessible to humans, such as cliffs and steep mountain peaks. To us, such nests seem incredibly dangerous. One might think the eaglets could easily fall from the edge of the cliff. So, why does the eagle choose to build its home in such high and perilous places? It's not because the eagle is foolish or ignorant, but because God has instructed it to do so. To human eyes, it may seem dangerous for an eagle to raise its young on a windy cliff, but from the mother eagle's perspective, it is actually the safest place. It is because the high places offer protection from predators and provide a wide field of vision, allowing the eagle to easily spot prey even from a great distance. From a nest perched atop a mountain peak or a rocky summit, the eagle can oversee the entire area, even the sea and valleys below fall within its sight. On the ground, there are many predators that could threaten an eaglet, but very few can reach the steep cliff. At most, a snake might pose a threat, but the eagle can detect the slightest movement from the sky. So, when a snake appears, because snakes can go up a cliff, pretty high cliff. Snakes could be a threat, but eagle detect even the slightest movement from up high. So when a snake appears, it swiftly descends and takes it out with its strong beak. Thus, a nest set high on a cliff is the safest place where the eagle can easily find and hunt its prey, and at the same time, protects its young. Furthermore, the eaglets raised on rugged cliffs get used to strong winds and harsh surroundings early in life. This prepares them to become powerful and skillful flyers. As we can see, the eagle lives exactly as it was designed by God's wisdom. Its very existence testifies to God's great providence in the creation. As we continue in the passage, God spoke further about the eagle's nature. Chapter 39, verses 29 and 30. From there, he spies out food. His eyes see it from far away. His young ones also lick up blood greedily, and where the slain are, there he is also. From there, he spies out food. This means that from its high nest, the eagle watches over vast distances to spot its prey. An eagle has vision that is 4 to 8 times sharper than that of a human. It can spot small prey as far as 3 to 5 kilometers away. Its visual acuity is especially remarkable, allowing it to detect even the slightest movements from great distances. Thanks to such extraordinary eyesight, the eagle can soar high in the sky and still precisely identify small animals on the ground. Its prey typically include small mammals like rabbits and field mice, as well as birds, snakes, and fish. Some eagles also feed on insects or animal carcasses, and because of this behavior, they often play the role of nature's cleanup crew. Like a nature's cleaner. In the passage, it says, his young ones also lick up blood greedily, and where the slain are, there he is also. This refers to the natural instincts of the eagle. Even its young are instinctively drawn to blood and gather where there is a carcass. This is because God created them to live so. Eagles are also known for raising their young to be strong and resilient. Before an eagle can fully soar in the skies, it must go through much training. The mother eagle repeatedly pushes its young from high places so they can build strong wings. At first, the eaglet trembles in fear, but through its process, it gradually develops the strength and skill needed to fly. During the entire process, the mother never abandons her young. She watches closely, and just before it falls to the ground, she rapidly swoops down to catch it and lifts it back up, allowing it to try again. Through this repeated training, the eaglet gradually grows into a strong bird, eventually gaining the ability to find and capture prey on its own. Likewise, God is refining us. Therefore, when we encounter difficult situations, we shouldn't... God talked about eagle. He asked, did you make the eagle? Do you know how they live? God's intention was that he had a deep meaning. I am refining you like an eagle. God was giving Job this awakening, this lesson. For an eagle to fly high in the sky, because eagles have to protect themselves, and also they have to. On the summit or on a steep mountain peak is the safest place. And in order to find and capture prey, this is the way of eagles' survival. In order to do that, mother eagles have to train their young. The same way, God is training us, disciplining us that way. God is speaking about this through the example of eagle. Therefore, when we encounter difficult situations, we shouldn't try to avoid them, but receive them as opportunities for growth. This is what God was reminding us of. By doing so, we become stronger and more steadfast. From man's point of view, the trials and hardships we face in life may seem unnecessary, but in God's eyes, they are essential times of refinement to shape us into people of strong faith. That's why He allows them. We live in a world where the enemy devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. God knows that His children are weak and prone to fall into sins, embrace unrighteousness, and walk the path of death. So He cannot but refine us so that our faith will become like pure gold and we won't become prey to the enemy devil. God longs for us to become strong and bold men of faith through trials. Although the process can sometimes feel painful or frightening, God never looks away from us. While we are being refined, God cheers us on like a parent watching their child compete in a race. He keeps His eyes fixed on us at all times. So in every situation, let us fully trust in and rely on our Father God, who assures us in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand.
우리가 연단받지 아니하고 믿음이 쑥쑥 성장할 수는 없을까요?
You may wonder we can grow spiritually without trials. It's possible when we obey with amen and yes. As soon as we hear the word, we just only obey. When God says not to cease praying, we just pray without ceasing. And when God tells us to pray in all circumstances, we always stay thankful. When God tells us not to have fleshly thoughts, we just obey. And whether day or night, whenever we find time, we meditate on the word of God. And we have the word as our standard. And we just obey perfectly. Then, do people actually obey like that? If they obey, they can grow without trials. But of course, they may have to go through trials to broaden their vessels. But they don't have to go through trials often. But human beings, by nature, they want to live as they please, like a wild ox, like a wild animal. That's why they go through trials. But the trials means that God is not abandoning us. We have to remember this. And sometimes God talked about the examples of the wild ox. I mean, trials are God's love. It is God's favor and God's grace. There are many reasons for trials, behind trials. First, you may say, God, there are trials that we bring upon ourselves. If we willfully commit sins or on purpose, we go through trials. We know something is a sin, and the Holy Spirit tells us not to commit sin, but we still commit sin and commit evil, and we do what He tells us not to do. And then the Holy Spirit gives us feelings of affliction. And also in our lives, we may have some misfortunes or miseries. We don't have to. What brings those trials? Satan, enemy, devil, and Satan. It's not something that God gives. These are trials and tribulations that brought by Satan. Does this mean God has abandoned you? God is still watching you, watching over you, and He is watching you with lamenting, and He wants you to repent and turn back from the enemy devil. And He is watching you, and the Holy Spirit also is knocking on the door to your heart. And once we repent and turn back, we are delivered from the hands of the enemy devil, and we go back to the bosom and the love and grace of the God. There are trials that God directly gives. When we have something we haven't realized, like Job, he knew though, I mean, because he didn't have awakening, there are things that he didn't realize. Once you hear the word, you have to take it as yours and humbly say amen and yes and pray upon it. Then but human beings, because they love themselves, they protect themselves, because they give excuses, they defend themselves, so they cannot realize their fleshly thoughts. Even though they are judging and condemning others and hating others, even while doing so, even though they have such fleshly thoughts, they don't admit them, they don't discover them. Then the Holy Spirit knocks on the door to your heart, and they feel reflected. And you, even though when another person doesn't, and one day you realize that you didn't embrace others, you have such an awakening. Once you have an awakening, you have to pray upon them, and you say that, Father, and you ask God to give a heart which can embrace others, and then you, and and you find yourself having condemned others, and you have felt frustrated against others, and you are condemning others. You didn't realize it before. And Father God lets you realize that you are lacking a heart of embracing others. Once you repent and turn back from your such ways, you feel peaceful and you receive whatever you ask for. And you go through such process to cast off such fleshly thoughts. Sometimes you go through. And the Holy Spirit, and through such trials, you make yourself cleansed and pure, and God changes you into His true children. And there are such moments in your life. But also, there are people who don't even consider them as trials. So when such situations come, they just quickly change themselves. So they don't even feel that as trials. When they have discomfort, they just quickly lay themselves down and quickly admit themselves and fix them through prayer. And they just put the blame on themselves, so they don't feel their situations as trial. They just overcome them with gratitude, so they can broaden their heart vessels. They can develop understanding heart, and then they can receive whatever they ask for. Even the same trial, depending on how you take it, it could be like a trial, or it can be like just a simple training process. Some people may find it so hard. Some people may find it difficult and hard as hell. But other people may find it interesting or a meaningful time. And they don't find it difficult. And Father God would rejoice with such confessions. Most of our men of righteous people do that sometimes in order to bring down God's power, in order to accomplish God's providence. They have to go through hardships. But in order to demonstrate their great faith before people and before Satan, and in order to glorify God, they had to go through some test. Abraham's faith, Abraham was tested by God himself. And they went through such trials and tests. But even while they went through such tests, they didn't even feel it as a test. Like Abraham, when he was told to offer Isaac, even though the Bible calls it a test, do you think Abraham would... He just obeyed. How wonderful and awesome that is. But if you don't have strong faith, if you don't feel God's love, namely, if you don't love God, as you go through trials by your faults, by your sins, as you go through trials brought by Satan, you resent God. You complain against God. Just as a mother eagle trains its young and it pushes it off a cliff. You may also go through such. God doesn't train or discipline His children like that, because but righteous people, God trained them hard, like an eagle pushing its young off of a cliff, because it knows that the young will soar and fly back into the sky. If you can grow spiritual like that, it's a blessing. But many Christians fail to have such growth. But if you are able to overcome such trial and fly high in the sky and accomplish God's great works, if you become such great spiritual warriors, I hope all of you will become so. Brothers and sisters, let us not forget that trials we face are a process that makes us strong and bold and refines our faith like pure gold. If we trust what Job chapter 23 verse 10 tells us, but he knows the way I take, when he has put me to the test, I will come out as gold. We can rejoice in any hardships and challenges. Even when a hardship comes as a result of sin, we can still give thanks because if we wholly repent, be transformed, and stand rightly in God's will, He will restore all things. As we can see, when our loving God allows us trials, there must be a good purpose. As we trust in God's good purpose and endure our trials with joy, prayer, and a grateful heart, our faith grows along the way. As we develop greater faith, even the things that once seemed difficult or painful begin to feel lighter, and we are more than able to overcome them. You may look up at a mountain and say, I'd love to climb that mountain. How amazing would it feel to breathe in the fresh air and look down over the whole world? But just imagining it wouldn't allow you to experience its joy. To truly enjoy it, you have to actually climb the mountain. But of course, the climb comes with effort and hardship. But even if you sweat and your legs ache, if you endure and keep climbing, you will eventually reach the summit. And the joy and the sense of fulfillment at the top, only those who have experienced it can know what it feels like. It's the same. Years ago, I also used to climb mountain. I mean, with Pastor Mi Young Lee, sometimes we got on a taxi to come back home. And the taxi driver knows that we were the mountain climbers. And the taxi driver asked, "Are you going climbing mountain?" Yes, I said yes. And one of the drivers said, "Why are you? Ultimately, you will be back down. But why do you have to necessarily go up and back down? Why do you have? Do you have to bother to go up the mountain?" But this taxi driver doesn't know the joy of reaching the summit. They doesn't know the feeling of fulfillment or achievement. And also, there is a beauty created by God. And up on the mountain, the beauty looks different. The joy and the thrill, only those who have experienced it or only those who have climbed the mountain know the feeling. It's the same with our Christian life. Romans chapter 5, verse 33 and 4 writes, "And not only this, but we also celebrate our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and the perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. As we pray and earnestly rely on the Lord in tribulations and long for God's will, His power, and His power is His answer, we can develop faith and endurance." Previously, when we had the shepherd, we used to receive whatever we asked for, and we were healed, and we received healing, and we were thankful, and we were joyful. We thought this was our own faith. Many of you thought that this was your own faith, but if this was truly your faith, when you faced the trials after that, you should have. Nowadays, you also request prayer and you receive answer. And if you just not only should you receive answer, but you have to grow your faith. You have to run your race of faith to grow your faith. Not just receiving an answer, just experiencing an answer does not mean the growth of faith. You have to run your race of faith. In school, the teacher solves math problems, answers the math problems, and the students see that and think they can also solve that math problem. In order to solve that problem, the students themselves have to solve the math problems. They have to. But if they study half-heartedly, if the problem is twisted just a little bit, they cannot solve the problems. So when you enter the, especially in the SAT, they have to know how to apply what their knowledge to the problem. Also, through your trials, you may have your problems resolved through the prayers from your pastors, and you have experienced the resolution of your problems. Then what you have to do is you have to grow your own faith, grow your own spiritual ability. You have to know that you have to, once you, and you have to learn how to, and once you please God and live in the truth, and you have to grow, develop your own faith. This is the kind of life of faith that God, Father God wants. And this is the kind of life of faith that the shepherd wanted us to have. But you have your problems resolved by the shepherd's prayer. And then you should turn into a person who loves God first. But people were like, because the shepherd's faith is great, I just live as I please, and then when I have a problem, I will receive his prayer. What kind of a Christian life is that? You have to, how could this benefit you? The shepherd didn't teach us to do that. It's not because, this is not because the shepherd brought down answers and blessings, but if you don't, God and shepherd were, if you don't do your part, do your role, you cannot enter New Jerusalem. Nowadays, the shepherd is in heaven, and he's harboring us in prayer, but we have our role. We have a bigger role, bigger part. But this is a true, genuine Christian life. This is a true training. This is a true thing. If I stay by your side and tell you everything in detail, does that make you sanctified? Does it make you quickly achieve sanctification? How could I do that to you, each one of you? Then you have your Holy Spirit in you. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit and do that. And through the sermon, I make up and presented ways to do that. And you have to do that and solve your problems on your own. This is your true Christian life. This is your true. Then whatever hardships, whatever difficulties you, each one of you, if you build a form, a perfect relationship with God, you don't waver, because you can gain the answer from the Bible, and so you don't consider your trials as trials, and because you have trained yourself, disciplined yourself, you can but if you don't do that, but if you just seeking help through the trials, if you just seeking prayer whenever you have problems, you cannot make it your own. So when you go through trials or go through hardships, the first thing you have to do is to solve your problems on your own through the word, and or through the prayer, or through or the meditation, if you, we have to show deeds that please God, then we can grow our faith, and through the trials we can, through such deeds, we can grow our faith, we can have endurance. But you may think, some of you may think, you didn't grow through the trial, and that doesn't mean, of course, you have to do your job, and you have to solve your problems with the Holy Spirit. God, God tells us to rely on the Holy Spirit. So when we have a counseling with the senior pastor, some people ask the shepherd what to do and asked him what to do in detail. And the shepherd replied, you have to pray and be guided by the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have to lead a good Christian life with the Holy Spirit in you. You have no reason to, and even though you may have, you can, if someone has to check up you, if someone has to examine your everything, that's like a, you are a novice believer. But you have to do things, but you have to volunteer to do things and discover, and you have to do everything through the Word and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is the right kind of Christian life, and this is how you are advancing to a New Jerusalem. You have to check whether you have endurance through the trials. In the face of a trial, you may wonder, why are you suffering like that? Why are there no answers? And you have to meditate on what happened, and you have to, and then as you do so, I mean, this then leads us to receive the hope of answers, blessings, and rewards. As you pray to God and you have hope, if you endure in faith, you have hope. But if you spend time meaninglessly through trials, you still have worries and concerns. But if you are trained, if you are disciplined in the way God wants, if you discipline yourself, make it your, and you, if you purify and sanctify yourself like that, if you come forth, then you develop endurance, and then, and you understand why God allowed such a situation, and you realize that God intended you to change. And to ultimately enter the kingdom of heaven and become children of light, we must endure. Through this time of endurance, we discipline ourselves and go through the refining process. And as much as we are refined into the people God desires us to be, we are given a beautiful hope, the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven, and the hope of New Jerusalem, and the hope of being used for precious purposes, and the hope of eternal blessings and joy. And eventually, they will be fulfilled. When we see how an eagle trains its young, it may look as though the eaglet is in danger of dying, but in fact, that very training is what enables it to live on its own. When the mother eagle strictly trains its young, the eagle has to suffer, but through the hardship, it learns perseverance. As a result of undergoing trials with the perseverance, it can grow into a mighty eagle. After going through that process, the young eagle, like its mother, finally soars high into the sky, seeing far and wide. Just as an eagle must soar to great heights to see its prey with a broader view, only those who have been refined through trials can possess greater faith and hope. Therefore, let us firmly remember that God allows us trials because He loves us. God allows us to go through refinement so that we may become spiritual warriors who are unafraid of the enemy devil and victorious in this harsh world. But when such a trial or blessing is given us, if we doubt without believing, we cannot walk that path. If we reject the way of refinement and choose the easy and wide road, it will ultimately lead to death. However, for those who are refined like pure gold, there comes only hope, blessing, and power. A gemstone must go through many stages of polishing before it can shine. In its raw state, a gemstone does not reveal its full value, but as it is refined by a skilled craftsman, it shines more brilliantly. The same goes for our lives. If we do not lose faith but persevere with hope, even amidst trials, at some point, we will find ourselves having become a man of spirit or whole spirit. So let us not fear the hardships that come our way, but joyfully accept those God-allowed trials and press on. God desires that we grow strong and courageous in faith so that we may eventually soar to great heights like eagles. God used the parable of the eagle to help Job understand such a purpose. Also, God's question carried the following meaning. Job, just as I commanded an eagle to live that way and gave it strength, I'm also the one who governs your life. So then, what should you do before me? Job, just as the eagle trains its young to be strong, I'm also refining you because I love you. I'm trying to make you a great person, full of love and virtue, a person of big vessel, not a small-minded complainer. I've intervened so that you can enjoy greater blessings, wisdom, wealth, power, and fame, and glorify me. That's what God was saying to Job. Because Job was a man of wisdom, he immediately understood why God had given him tribulations and allowed him to go through such intense trials. Brothers and sisters, we all know that in the end, Job received double the blessing through the trials. So we should also be thankful when trials come our way. The reason is, God allows us to be refined to give us faith like pure gold, to make us into His perfect children, to perfect our hope of heaven and New Jerusalem, and to prepare us as beautiful brides of Christ. Even if storms arise, the winds blow fiercely, and great trials fall upon us, even when it feels like God is not with us, we must not fall. Let us stand firm and press on toward heaven. Just as the young eagle, through training, grows to resemble its strong mother, we too must remember that through refinement, we can become people of strong faith. With this faith, we can glorify God to our heart's content, enter heaven, and ultimately enter New Jerusalem, which all of us eagerly long for. So then, shouldn't we strive to obtain faith like pure gold by sincerely going through trials? If you think, I'll avoid this because it's hard, because I'm afraid of trials and hardships, because I don't like being refined, this is not the attitude of a wise person. Just Some people say that during the trials, I heard them saying, just as a young eagle becomes a ruler of the skies through training, we too must go through refinement to become strong spiritual warriors, namely, people of faith who can bring the enemy devil and the darkness under control. God has said, let it be done for you according to your faith, and whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. And all things are possible for you, for those who believe. Yet, until our faith reaches that level, the word of truth may sometimes pierce us or feel painful and bitter. But this path is not a path of suffering. It is a path of eternal life and blessing and the way to becoming perfect man of spirit, resembling our Lord. Therefore, no matter what trials may come, let us rejoice, pray, give thanks, and endure and persevere by faith. And may each of you come forth as fruits of glory that our Father God is looking forward to having. So what did you learn from the example of the hawk and the eagles? And as the And you also discover your shortcomings with God's grace, and you have, so during the week, as you pray for yourself, you have to repent as you prepare for the divine healing meeting, and you have to pray, repent of the misunderstanding and all the complaints, and you should also develop true faith.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.